Ready. Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to all who may hear this later. I did a message, if you remember, when we were at the Bible school on the Matthew 18 process, and I got a tremendous amount. Grab my microphone. Okay. Maybe a little better. Tremendous amount of very good positive feedback on that, of people saying they never really understood the Matthew 18 process and how it worked. And, looking at it now, I think I left one point out of that. So this is called the Matthew 18 process part 2. And I think it's important because, unfortunately, in the days we're living in today, for many different reasons, and like I said, we just talked about being more interconnected, which is a good thing in certain ways. Think about it. 2,000 years ago, if you lived thousands of miles away from your family, you may never see your family again. Or maybe you'd get a letter after so many years. And that's why in the Bible, when you see people embracing when they're meeting, you really see, because they didn't have the ways today of instant messaging and email and all that kind of stuff. So there's good things about it to stay in contact. But as we said, also, it also brings where, because of those kind of connections, there's more maybe misgivings that could be misunderstandings or conflicts between people and different things. So I think one of the biggest reasons why these conflicts are going on, though, is that people are not using the Matthew 18 process. It's a process that the Father puts there for a particular reason. And I'm going to start Matthew 18 in one verse, verse 15. I'm not going to go through the whole process that's on the other message. So if anybody's hearing this and you haven't heard the original message on the Matthew 18 process, please go to our website, www.coyhwh.com, and you're welcome to download that and listen. But Matthew 18 in verse 15 says, "And if your brother with you is at fault, go rebuke him between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." So it's a pretty simple thing that we know the way the process works. If someone is either in a sin or has done something, you're to go to them privately, try to restore them. If the person doesn't listen, as we said in the first message, what do you have to do? Then you have to bring witnesses. And if he doesn't listen to the witnesses, you have to bring it before the congregation and the elders. Deuteronomy 17. We'll go there. And starting in verse 6. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6 says, "At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is to die be put to death. He shall not be put to death at the mouth of one witness." So again, in virtually any case you find in the Bible, you do need more than one witness. And you could have that. You could have two people, it's happened to me before, that are here. One is saying this and one is saying that. And even though you may presume that one is telling the truth and one isn't, without proof of it, without proof, you just can't make a verdict unless you have the proof on it. There has to be more than just circumstantial proof, and that's why you need two witnesses. It says, "The hand of the witnesses shall be first on him to put him to death, and the hand of all the people last. And you shall cut off the evil from among you. If a matter is too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between cause and cause, or between stroke and stroke, matters of strife within your gates, then you shall rise up and go to the place that Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, Jerusalem. And you shall come into the priests of the Levites and the judge who is in those days, and shall inquire, and they shall declare the word of judgment to you. And you shall do according to the word which they declare to you from the place which Yahweh shall choose. And you shall be careful to do according to all that they direct you. You shall do according to the mouth of the Torah which they direct you, and according to the judgments which they deliver you. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you, right or left. And the man who acts with pride, so as not to listen to the priest who is standing to serve Yahweh your Elohim there, or to the judge, even that man shall die, and you shall cut off the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear, and shall not presume any more." And face it, human beings are there. This is not a perfect system. It's happened to me before, years back, when I first came into the congregation, where something might have happened that, you believed should have been a certain way, and you go to the leadership, and for whatever reason, they might see it another way. But one thing I always knew is, if I'm following this process that Yahweh gives, really the outcome doesn't matter. Even if I'm wronged, what does Paul say? Why not be wronged? That's it. Once I went to the leadership, as Yahweh said, whatever verdict they did, and if it was justice, and it was the right verdict, then great. But even if for some reason there was a false witness, or they didn't have all the information, or for whatever reason, the leadership came to a different decision, I was fine with that. Because I knew they were not purposely trying to hurt me, or even hurt the other person, whatever. So that's the way Yahweh has it, and that's the way it is. So now the second step, again, going before the witnesses and the elders and listening. And this is what we were going over in the first one. So, but what happens? We were going over what happens if the person that you're going to doesn't repent. How do you deal with this? Now, in this case, I want to deal with something different, though, that we didn't go over. What happens in the Matthew 18 process, whether it's the first time you're going to the person privately or you're bringing witnesses, what happens if the person does repent? What happens if you're there with the witnesses, you're bringing out the evidence for whatever a person may have done, and the person, you know, breaks down or whatever, and he says, yes, you're right, I repent before Yahweh, he's ready to make restitution, and he takes responsibility for what he did. He apologizes, everything's restored, and all said and done, right? End of the story. Let's turn off the message. You know, you wish it could be that easy. But that should be the way it is. That's what we're hoping for. Yahweh is a restorer. You know, he's a restorer of the breach. And that's why we always say, this is a ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. You're always looking to reconcile. Unfortunately, though, in the world we're living in, and I'm going to read some scriptures about the times we're living in, it doesn't always work that way. And unfortunately, we talked about it before, not everybody in your midst has the spirit of Yahweh. And there are, unfortunately, people out there that are evil. And I'm telling you, as time is going on, it's almost scary how evil certain people can be. You know, because when you don't have that, sometimes someone says to me, Don, I can't think the way they're thinking. And I say, praise Yahweh. I wouldn't want you thinking like that. You know, when you see some of the things that people do that are claiming to be believers, it's just shocking that someone can be that evil. You know, and again, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. We're all evil as far as that we're not righteous. But I'm talking about evil. I'm talking about pure evil. That people that just want to hurt people for the sake of hurting them, that have no other purpose than envy, jealousy, strife, that shocks you. That kind of stuff can go so far that people would try to hurt people just for the sake of jealous ambitions. So what about a person in the congregation who repeats the sins of others that have already been repented of and the matter is solved? And what if they lie about brethren in the process? How do you deal with that now? And that's what I'd like to talk today, and that's why I'm saying it's the second part of the Matthew 18 process, because the normal Matthew 18 process we already went over. Like I said, I thought it was a very good message on the subject. It's there. But what happens if you get the repentance and then somebody doesn't want to accept it? You know, I've had this happen before where people have said, no, I will never forgive them. I don't care that they repented. I will never forgive them. And you let them know. You say, how can you go to Yahweh and ask for forgiveness if you're not forgiving your brother? I don't care. You know, they did this or they did that or whatever it's called. So, first of all, I want to show you how serious this is. So, let's go to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, because, you know, there's certain things you study that are important. I think anything that's in the Bible is important. But if we're studying a subject such as the phase of the moon, it's as important as it is to find out holy times. I don't think it's salvational, that if for some reason you couldn't get it or you didn't get everything of it, I don't believe it's something you'd lose your salvation. But this topic today is extremely important because it can build a root of bitterness that can actually take people out of the kingdom of Yahweh and into the lake of fire. Proverbs 6, in verse 16 starts, it says, these six things Yahweh hates, yea, seven are hateful to the soul. Like I said, if you go through your whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you put the word Yahweh with the word hate, you don't find too many scriptures. Because Yahweh is love. His spirit is love. Everything about him is love. And like I always say, when you forgive somebody, the greatest part about it is he's given us the opportunity to be like him. And that's what it's all about, right? Become ye perfect as your Father in heaven. And sometimes it's almost discouraging how much we're not like him. And to me, it is a rush. It is great when I did nothing wrong so that I don't have to take responsibility for my own sins, but I can forgive somebody that wronged me because there's no greater way to be like Yahweh. Because that's what's happening when he sent his son to die for us. Yeshua did no wrong, and yet he willingly came down to take our sins upon him. So when we give unmerited pardon, when we give grace to someone who doesn't deserve it, we're literally being like our Father in heaven is. But these things here are the things that Yahweh absolutely hates. High eyes, and we're going to see that. Many times why forgiveness doesn't come is because of pride. A lying tongue, pride many times leads to lies, and hands that shed innocent blood. And we'll see, when these kind of situations happen, many people get hurt for no reason whatsoever. You know, many people get hurt for no reason whatsoever. Sometimes when people are gossiping and repeating things that people that had nothing to do with anything. I've had people say to me, Don, this person sent me this. I don't know why. I got nothing to do with this. I don't even know why they're sending it to me. And yet people will press that send button over and over and over again. And you wonder for which reason. Now, if it's somebody that's involved in a situation, it's the Matthew 18 process, that's different. But why on earth would anybody send negative information about somebody else that's not even involved in the situation? And Yahweh says, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that plots evil plans, feet hurrying to run to mischief, a false witness who breathes lies, and he's sending out strife among brothers. So just about all of these seven things that Yahweh hates has to deal with what we're talking about today. It has to deal with falsely accusing and gossiping about brethren. And again, we have a Matthew 18 process. If somebody did something wrong, we don't want to blind ourselves if there's something wrong in the congregation, but there's a process to it. And like I said, when the person comes and there's repentance made, it should never, ever be brought up again whatsoever. You know? And as ambassadors to Yahweh, it's a responsibility we have. As a pastor, I even have a higher responsibility. And over the years, I've had many, many people counsel with me and tell me personal things. Things that were very damaging to some of these people. Some of these people later even left the congregation and actually lied about me. And I still never, ever, ever once brought up one of these situations that just to hurt somebody. Because it's what Yahweh hates. There'd be no reason to it. It's not going to make me feel any better. And it's certainly, to me, I can't understand the avenue called revenge. I just don't understand it. Because if somebody took money of mine, I'd want the money back. But talking bad about that person doesn't get my money back, and it doesn't help that person doesn't help anybody. So I just don't see how gossiping as revenge can really make anybody feel better. And if we're all honest with ourselves, and there are probably thousands of people that will watch this later, be honest, when did gossip ever make anybody feel good? Regardless whether the information was true or false or whatever, when did reading gossip, hearing gossip, or telling gossip ever make the soul feel good? It doesn't. Because it's so contrary to Yahweh that it's disgusting in his eyes. So even if information was true, like I always say, the two things when it comes, whether you should repeat something, number one, is it true? If it's not true, it should never be repeated anyway. But the second thing is it necessary? The fact that something is true, you know, it doesn't make it necessary to tell somebody. Maybe a brother or sister comes in a congregation that had a bad marriage 40 years ago or something. Why should we be bringing that out to other people? Why should anybody be bringing it out to other people? Or maybe they were into drugs or something else. Whatever sins came in the past. You know, that it doesn't help anybody to repeat gossip. So is it true and is it necessary? Galatians 6. Let's go to Galatians 6. So by starting off, I want to start off this just to show you how much Yahweh hates this. That it's so contrary to what we should be focusing on as believers, that it's something that Yahweh really, really disdains. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, Brothers, if any man among you goes before you in error, you who are in the Spirit, restore him by the Spirit of gentleness, and beware lest temptation also comes upon you. So even if it's the Matthew 18 process where you have to go to somebody, don't be so high and uplifted and so self-righteous, you know, that I'm going to put him in his place. No, because every one of us, you know, has sins. And the Bible even says, if you have the same sin that you're rebuking someone, you have to repent first of your sin. Doesn't mean any sin, or none of us can ever go to somebody to help them. But it's that sin. Restore that person in the spirit of gentleness and beware lest temptation comes upon you. And you carry the excess load of one another and thus complete yourself in the instruction of Messiah. So actually, the very opposite from repeating gossip and going to someone, hey, you want to hear what so-and-so did? He says, actually, we are to grant these burdens of each other. And believe me, I've done it with many people through the years. If someone is having a problem, say, with alcoholism, you know, and they basically repented, but every now and then something comes. You know, I'll say, call me, get in touch with me. I'll pray with you right there on the spot. We'll overcome this together. Instead of going to the congregation trying to tell everybody so-and-so slipped up, you know, and drank too much or did drugs or whatever it is. There's some physical addictions that are harder to overcome than other addictions. And that's what he says. We carry the load of one another. We don't try to expose one another. There's nothing profitable to it. For if anyone thinks to be something, verse 3, he deceives himself being nothing. And many times the reason why people do this is they're insecure themselves, and by putting down other people, they want to lift themselves up. And that's not the way to lift ourselves up in Messiah. The way to lift ourselves up in Messiah is by pure love. It's by giving love out to other people and showing the love of Yahweh in you and being as much like Yeshua as you can be. That's the way that you're going to lift yourself up. Not through even physical, all of us have physical gifts in certain things. We don't lift ourselves up by using physical gifts that everyone says, wow, you're a good singer or you're a good teacher. No, it's by the love for one another. It's by our humility and the way that we're serving each other. That's what's important, and that's what really is lifting up about that. So again, through pride, we don't want to tear others down because we have low self-confidence of ourselves. Philippians 3, in verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not count myself to have reached the goal, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and stretching forward to those things before. So again, look at the Apostle Paul, and I've said this before. How many times do you think he went into a congregation so zealous to talk about Yeshua, and somebody wanted to bring up, well, you used to persecute the congregation. Well, you burned these letters, or you maybe even killed somebody's son or friend. You know, and did Paul want to dwell on that? No, he says, brothers, I do not count myself to reach the goal, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and stretching forward to those things before. And praise Yahweh. We should be thanking Yahweh if someone repents of something they did and wants to move on in the fullness of Messiah. He says, I press toward the goal to receive the prize of victory of the highest calling of Yahweh in Messiah Yeshua. So that's what we all should be doing. We should be striving to move ahead. It doesn't matter where we were yesterday or 10 years ago. You know, face it, there ain't a person on this planet that doesn't have what they call skeletons in his closet. You know? So what good would it be to say, oh, I know what you did when you were 16, or I know what you did when you were 20. No, we want to forget these things that are behind and look ahead toward the great prize of our calling. Verse 18. But not everybody does that, as we know. It says, for many walk as enemies to the torture stake of Messiah, of whom I often told you, and now even weeping I say it, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, the ones thinking on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, where we also wait for a Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah, who will transform our body of humiliation to the likeness of his glorious body, according to the mighty power to be able even to subject all things under himself. And if you remember, Paul was even saying, some people preached the good news when he was in prison. He said, some people preach it out of zeal, but others were only preaching while he was in prison to make it harder for him. Because it was an illegal religion at that time. So they were trying to preach, not to bring people into the truth, to try to make Paul maybe get the death penalty or something else. And like he says, many walk as enemies to the torture stake of Messiah, whom I often tell you now even weeping say, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in the shame, thinking on earthly things. So, unfortunately, this is a situation we're going to deal with from time to time. The thing is, we don't want to allow it to affect us individually, and you don't want it to allow us to affect us as a congregation. So, no matter how low somebody else with a worldly spirit may steep to, we don't want to repay back evil for evil and reviling for reviling. We don't want to do it. It's not Yahweh's way. There's times where we may have to stand up for truth. There's times where we may have to, I hope, stand up for each other, but we never want to do it in a way that would not be to the glory of Yahweh as an ambassador of Him, and we certainly don't want to lower yourself to do what some others are doing. Proverbs 20, in verse 19, there's a fair amount of Proverbs that speak of this very situation. Proverbs 20 and 19 says, a revealer of secrets walks about as a gossip, so do not meddle with him who opens his lips wide. And like I said, we're living in a global world. You know, people come to Sukkot from all over the world. Usually we have 20 to 30 countries that are represented there. And I consider it a great blessing of mine that Yahweh's been able to use me as a way for so many people to meet each other. And it's wonderful. Brethren that are by themselves and can meet each other. And like I said, even contact each other through email or letter writing or whatever. But the one thing I do caution is know who you're meeting and be careful what you say. Because unfortunately, there are people who are revealers of secrets walking around as gossips. And he says, do not meddle with him who opens his lips wide. And you can be sure of this. If somebody is sitting there telling you all bad things about another brother or sister or about a leader, tomorrow it's going to be you. Today it's whoever else, but tomorrow it's going to be you. If that's in somebody's character, that they're just talking, gossiping for the sake of gossiping, don't think that it won't be you next. You know, it even talks of, there's a proverb, I forget exactly how it goes, but saying, you know, when you talk against a king in your room, you know, there could be a bird on the windowsill that can take it away and, you know, that kind of thing. So be very careful. Be very careful on who we befriend. Verse 20 says, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in deep darkness. So the very next verse is even saying that people will even do this to their family and their parents, unfortunately. But I'll read a little later in Timothy, we're living in a time where there's not natural affection. There's mothers, unbelievable, that will throw their babies in garbage cans. You know, there was just a case in America of a woman who killed her child. And they let her go free now because I guess they didn't have enough evidence. But when you look at the case, I mean, man, the child's missing 30 days. The parents never called the police. How on earth? But this is the times we're living in, where there's not even a normal natural affection over there anymore. And like I said, unfortunately, even with families sometimes. Proverbs 11 in verse 12. It says, one despising his friend lacks heart, but an understanding man remains silent. One despising his friend lacks heart, but an understanding man remains silent. So again, especially when you're a real congregation, I'm not talking about an 18,000 person mega church where you're going to come for 20 minutes and get a little pep talk. But when you're a real congregation according to Scripture and you're living together and doing Bible studies and going through these things, there will be things that you're going to confide in each other with. And like he says here, one despising his friend lacks heart, but an understanding man remains silent. And if somebody is confiding in you, you know, about something they're going through or a personal thing with their family, I mean, it is the most evil thing in the world to repeat that to another person. And particularly to just openly be sending emails about that. It's like we said in Proverbs 6, it's absolutely wicked to Yahweh. Verse 13, the next verse. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful of spirit keeps a matter hidden. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful spirit keeps the matter hidden. So people, they might try to be self-righteous to come out and say, hey, I'm saying this and this is true, whatever, but what purpose is there to it? Is there purpose to it? Sure, if somebody is in a sin and they're hurting somebody else and they haven't repented, that's why we have the Matthew 18 process. But just the fact of revealing things about people's past for the sake of revealing it, is right here, like it says, it's slander. But the faithful spirit keeps the matter hidden. Verse 14, in the absence of wise counsels, the people fall, but safety is in the abundance of counselors. And why does this happen? Because people are not seeking wise counsel. They're not seeking wise counsel. So they're making mistakes, and they're going out, and they're repeating, you know, things about people that they shouldn't, and causing strife and rifts in the congregation. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. We learned this at the Bible school when we learned the 4 or 5 points of proper judging. One passing by crossing himself over strife that is not his own is like one who grabs a dog's ears. So again, one of the things we learned when you're dealing with proper judgment is you do not judge in matters that don't pertain to you. And yet we're in a world that's what it's about. Everywhere you look, on TV, everything, it's about everybody having an opinion on everything. But very clearly from Scripture, if we want to properly judge, we want to make sure that we're not judging in matters that don't pertain to us. Same chapter, if you just drop down to verse 20. Same chapter, verse 20. It says, the fire goes out where there is no wood, so the strife ceases where there is no gossiper. The fire goes out where there is no wood, so strife ceases where there is no gossiper. And I've seen it in congregations where it just seemed like this kind of thing was going on and on and on, and everybody's all upset, and then all of a sudden the person who's causing the problem leaves, and then everything is fine from there. So like it says, as the fire goes out when there is no wood, so strife ceases where there is no gossiper. Verse 21, as coal to burning embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a gossiper are as delicacies, and they go down into the chambers of the heart. As with silver dross spread over an earthen vessel, so are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates dissembles with his lips, for he lays up deceit in his inner being. And like I said, what on earth purpose could there be? How could that make anybody feel good? Just to put somebody else down or to try to hurt somebody else for no reason whatsoever. When his voice is gracious, do not believe him, for he has seven hateful things in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by guile, his evil shall be revealed in the assembly. He who digs a pit shall fall into it, and he who rolls a stone shall have it turned back on him. A lying tongue hates the one it crushes, and a flattering mouth works stumbling. Like I said, unfortunately, you don't always know. People can come in. They can be friendly, you don't know them that well, and then all of a sudden, sometimes it could be weeks or months or even years, you find out the motives were not that good. But like I said, when you think about it, from any side of it, nobody wins through gossip. Nobody wins. Nobody feels good, nothing is good. There's nothing good, not anything good you could think of that comes out of gossiping, that comes out of trying to malign another brother or sister. So why are people like this? Why? Why does it happen? I want to go to Proverbs 18. It says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. And one of the reasons why, like I said, for me, looking from the inside and looking as a pastor, and you just see how destructive it is, gossip and talking about people behind their back and all that kind of stuff. But somebody who separates themselves, somebody who has no congregation, who won't follow a man, who wants nothing to do with anybody, they don't feel that way. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them because they're self-seeking. So they're not looking who they're hurting. It's a self-seeking thing. So many times you'll see that. It's the people that are separating themselves who do not feel that they're codependent on the brethren or the congregation or anything that is happening. They separate themselves out of private, selfish ambitions. There is no Elohim-guided counsel, and pride is ruling their spirit, and gossip is the end result. It's that simple. It's the reason why it's happening. And then in verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but only in uncovering his heart. When the wicked comes, scorn also comes, and with shame comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are like deep waters, the fountain of wisdom like a flowing stream. To lift up the face of the wicked is not good, nor to turn aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into strife, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his souls. And like I said, because there's no proper guidance, because they've separated themselves and there's no Elohim-guided counsel, Yahweh's saying they're acting foolishly. They're acting foolishly and causing trouble from themselves. The words of a slanderer, verse 8, are as wounds. Yea, they go down into the innermost chambers of the belly. And he who is slack in his work, he is a brother to a master destroyer. Important scripture here. Let me read that again. He who is slack in his work is a brother to a master destroyer. Idle time is the work of the devil. And what I found is most of the time, the people who have time for gossip and internet letters and all this stuff, they're not doing the work of Yahweh. They're simply not out there doing. So if he's slack in his work, he's going to be a brother to a master destroyer. So who, remember what we said, like spirits will find each other? What will happen? The person who is not about the work of Yahweh will find another like spirit, and they'll do more work, destructive work, you know, than anything from Yahweh. I remember when I was in high school, I had a guy on our football team, that this guy was about as strong as a guy as you can ever imagine in your life. Everybody was afraid of him. But when it came to like doing bench pressing or something constructive, he had no strength. I mean, even smaller guys can do it. And they used to say to him, you know, so-and-so, you know, when it comes to something constructive, you have no strength. But if it comes to pulling a brick out of a wall, you can do it. And that's the way that this person was. And unfortunately, this is the way it is. You look at how much work of Yahweh is out there. And you don't have to follow anybody. Just go out and do something if that's what you want to do. I mean, there's hospitals in every town. There's places where there's old people who need encouragement. There's orphanages where there's children that have no parents. We are living in such a terrible world that there's a million ways that you can serve. You know, places, homeless shelters, you know, soup kitchens. And yet people will spend zero on the work of Yahweh, but they'll spend hundreds of hours on destructive behavior. And what does that have to tell you? That is not the spirit of Yahweh. The spirit of Yahweh would never act in such a manner. And we have to understand it in the times we're living in. We already talked about it. There's sheep and goats, there's wheat and tares, and there's simply people that are not being led by the spirit of Yahweh. You hate to have to say it, but it's absolutely true. You'll know them by their fruits. That's very simple. So again, there's many situations in the congregation without where there's misunderstandings. There's hard feelings that'll happen at times. There's people that won't talk. It doesn't mean anybody's bad, but I'm talking about consistent behavior that's only toward gossip and destruction. Consistent behavior like that. No good fruits, but only destructive fruits. And we are to judge. We are to judge like that. And it's very clear as I read it, what the Bible says. You know, you were to put that person out from among you. Luke 11, and I'm going to read this from the New King James. It's a little bit clearer. It's a very interesting subject. Luke 11 and verse 43 through 46, and then I'll drop down to verse 52. He says, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unseen tombs, and the men walking above are not aware of them." And unfortunately, there's people that are just out for position. You know, we see this. The Pharisees didn't care who was starving. They didn't care about the widow. They were stealing the widow's money. You know what they cared about? They cared about their position. They cared about having a title. They cared about where their seat was in the congregation. And Yeshua is saying, woe to them. Verse 45. "And one of the lawyers answered and said to him, 'Master, you reproach us also when you say this.'" And this is his answer to the lawyers. "And he said, 'Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens, grievance to be carried, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers.'" Verse 52. "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourself, and you have hindered those who were entering in." And as he said these things, the scribes and Pharisees began to be terribly angry and to draw him out concerning many things, lying in ambush for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth so they might accuse him. Oh, and this is Yeshua. I mean, wow, I read this and I could almost see situations that are happening today. You know? But it's the same thing. Unfortunately, there are people that will come into our midst and they'll sit there in ambush trying to pull you to say things only to destructively use it against you. And it is wicked and it is evil and it is not the spirit of Yahweh. I mean, and right here, He gives us these very situations and warns us. And that's why we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And just in general, we have to watch what we say. Because unfortunately, there are people at times, even when you're not saying nothing that is wrong, that may try to twist your words into it. Proverbs 17, in verse 9, it says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So what is the purpose? And there is a time when you do have to say something. If there is something that is wrong, illegal, sinful, and that's why there's a Matthew 18 process. You go to the person, if you have to bring witnesses, and then you have to bring it before the congregation. But if you went to the person, or you brought the witnesses, and there was repentance made, you would never have to repeat the matter again. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Proverbs 19 and verse 5. It says, a false witness shall not be blameless, yea, a breather of lies shall not escape. Drop down to verse 9. A false witness shall not be blameless, yea, he who speaks lies shall perish. So it's extremely a serious situation when someone comes as a false witness against another person and twists the truth and slants the truth and tries to hurt somebody else's character or even get them put out of the congregation. 2 Timothy 3, as I was saying, because of the times we're living in, unfortunately these things are present at times and you do have to deal with them. We can't just close our eyes to them because, like I said, when it comes to gossip, too many people get hurt. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it, even turn away from these. Boy, we could do a whole message just on taking each one of these apart and looking at it. But again, people will, they will not have a loyal spirit. People will be traitors without natural feelings. Like I said, even best friends or families attacking, slanderers. And what does he say? Turn away from these. It's not something that for any circumstance you need to bring into your life. And we certainly don't need to bring it into the congregation. We're human beings. We make mistakes. Every one of us at one time or another in our life has said something that we had to apologize for, that we regretted. So be it. We're humans. Everybody understands that. But I'm talking about aggressive campaigns, literally just to malign, gossip, and try to destroy people's characters. Verse 7. It says, they're always striving to learn, but never being able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they separated themselves, like it says in Proverbs 18. So they're always out there privately trying to learn, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres stood up against Moses, so do these also withstand the truth, men of corrupt minds and far from the faith. But they will not go further, for their foolishness will be well known to every man, even as that of the others was also. So we see that Yahweh, in the end, will vindicate, and that it's not going to succeed, although people do get hurt. And then if you drop down to verse 12, likewise, all those desiring to live a righteous life in Messiah, Yeshua, will be persecuted. So again, like I said, there's nothing positive that comes out of it, but in one way, maybe humility could come out of it. So Yahweh does say that those living righteously will be persecuted. Verse 13, it says, but evil men and pretenders will grow worse and worse, leading astray and being led astray. But you keep on in what you learned and were assured of, knowing from who you learned. Remember what we said the other day. Who are you listening to? And that you have learned from your childhood the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through belief in Messiah Yeshua. So very clearly, the motives are outlaid. So although, like you said, people that say, I can't understand how he could think that way. And my answer is, thank Yahweh you don't understand how someone can think that way. Because how can anyone think that way except having pure evil motivation? But I'll tell you, in my life, I mean, I'll be 47 years old next month. I've seen what pride can do to people. I've seen it. And I always say, if cancer is not the number one killer in America, it's pride. Pride, when people feel they're wronged, I've seen, whether it's families, whether it's congregation, whether it's anybody, that you see that root of pride, how people will act, how dare somebody, and how that will come up, and everything. They'll throw away 30 years of a calling. Throw away Yahweh, throw away the Bible, throw away everything. And that's why I say, when you're dealing with pride, you've got to deal with it, if it's a problem, or it will get worse and worse and worse. Romans 16. So what do we do in these situations where somebody is doing this kind of behavior? They will not listen to reason, and the motivation is simply just to hurt others. Romans 16 and verse 17 says, and brothers, I exhort you to mark those making divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For such ones do not serve our Master Yeshua Messiah, but their own belly, and by smooth speaking and flattering, they deceive the hearts of the simple people. That's the sad part. That some of these people will hoodwink others into their deception. But like I said, it's because whoever is being deceived, number one, is not at the work of Yahweh, and as much as you feel bad for the people being deceived, something is deceiving them. So they're not totally innocent in it, even though there could be a big hoodwinker at the top of it. You know, that if you're not about the work of Yahweh, you're letting yourself up to possibly be deceived. It says, 19, for your obedience is known to everyone, therefore I rejoice over you, but I desire you to be truly wise as to good things, but pure toward evil things. And the Elohim of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you. Amen. But very clearly, mark those making divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the doctrine you learn, and turn away from them. And I say this, there's a very easy way to stop gossip. Don't listen to it whatsoever, and tell the person you're not going to listen to it. If they're giving it by mouth, just let them know, I don't want to hear this. This is gossip. I'm sorry. If they're writing it to you, write back and say, don't send me any of these emails. I don't want to hear gossip. It's not Yahweh ordained actions. You know, it's not something that an ambassador of Yahweh should do. I don't want to hear it. And that's the easiest way. Because if there's nobody to preach the gossip to, it stops. Like we said. You know, like water with a dam. You know, if there's no ear to listen and tell somebody else, the gossip will stop in its path. So all of us can stop gossip by making ourselves committee of ones. And especially in this day and age, if somebody is sending out 100 letters of gossip, each individual that got that letter has the responsibility to go before and just simply say, please don't send it to me again. They want to say something else, it's up to them. But if not, you're condoning the gossip by accepting it. You know, you're condoning it. It's the same way, you know, we have a mailing list with thousands of people we send email to. To me, I think that these are all people that are supporting our ministry, or why would you get my email? You know, what would be the purpose of being on our list? You know, so if you're not supporting, if you're against what I'm doing, then simply say, don't send me any more emails. You know, it's that's how you could stand up. That's what I would do. Why would I want to get an email from somebody who's preaching heresy or doing something wrong? So if they were, I would just kindly write and say, please take me off your mailing list. I've done it many times before. So it's the same way here. By you getting a letter of gossip from somebody and not responding to that, you're condoning it. In the minds of the person who sent it, you're condoning it. And we have a responsibility for Yahweh, even if it's simply to say, please don't send me anymore. And it helps you, because if you don't, what's going to happen? A few months later, you're going to get another letter of gossip. You know, and for us, what we do usually is just block the email. You know, block it so that it can't come in. It's like spam mail. You know, there's so much spam mail today. It's an easy way to do it. You simply block it and let it fly around in cyberspace out there into some black hole where it belongs. Matthew 7. And verse 1 says, do not condemn that you may not be condemned. For with whatever condemnation you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured again to you. But why do you see the twig that is in the eye of your brother, but you do not see the log in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, allow me to cast the twig out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your eye? Hypocrite! First remove the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the twig out of the eye of your brother. And unfortunately, I've seen this many times, that people that have reverted to gossip about other people actually are doing worse in their lives than what they're even accusing others of. And even situations, like I said, where people actually repented of something, and then they're accusing, and the other person didn't repent. But you can only pray for people as such, because they are bringing judgment on themselves. It's a spiritual law of Yahweh. And like he says, as we will judge others, it's going to come back to us. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Just back one page. He says, for if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. And a big problem of why these things happen is people not having a spirit of forgiveness. That they cannot let something go, and it comes from pride. And again, what does it lead to? A root of bitterness? And a root of bitterness clearly will choke, if the Holy Spirit was ever present to begin with, choke it out. So again, I think by Yahweh commanding us to forgive is the greatest thing he could ever do for us in our life. Because by having bitterness in our heart, it is only hurting you. And I've said this on our messages on forgiveness. Because, you know, you may never see this person again until the day you die. And how do you know? Maybe that person repented 20 years ago. I've seen people holding bitterness for 30 or 40 years. And who knows? Maybe the person repented and you don't even know it. And yet that root of bitterness is affecting your life. Because it's going to affect your relationships. You know, I've heard people say, I'm never going to help somebody again because I tried to help this person, they hurt me. And like I always say at the school, the past does not equal the future. The fact that I helped somebody who used it in a bad way doesn't mean that if I help someone tomorrow, they won't be appreciative. You have to realize that the past does not equal the future. And we can't allow the bad actions of one to affect us from not showing the love of Yahweh to other people. But again, forgiveness is something that we must do. Something that we must do. Deuteronomy 19. Just two more scriptures. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 16. It says, if a vicious witness rises up against any man to charge apostasy against him, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and judges who shall be in those days. And the judges shall carefully investigate, and behold, if the witness is a false witness, and he has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he plotted to do to his brother, and you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and thereafter shall not add to commit such evil among you. So we see in the Torah, it's a very serious crime to bring a false witness. Now, things happen at times. People have different recognition or recollection of stories. And that's why even when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can have three of the same stories a little bit different because each one has a different record, how they remember it. But this isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who purely came out with bad intentions of falsely being against somebody. And the Torah is very, very clear that whatever they were trying to do should come back to them, and that's somebody you have to put out from among you. You cannot allow that. It is a cancer that will, unbelievable, destroy a congregation if you don't deal with such things as that. The last scripture I want to go over is Psalm 103, because I think in any kind of situation we're dealing with, we have to remember that, like Yeshua said, no man is good. Every one of us, as best as we could try to obey Yahweh and whatever, like we said, we know we're not doing it to be saved by our works or whatever. And it's humbling to know what we are as human beings. But it should humble us knowing we need Yahweh's forgiveness. You know, we're talking about our forgiveness to each other as human beings is one thing, but ultimately it's Yahweh's forgiveness that will give us eternal life or will take that eternal life away from us. So I thought it was really good to end on how Yahweh looks at sinners when they repent. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant mercy. He will not always strive, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not done to us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are above the earth, so is his mercy mighty over those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As the pity of a father over his sons, so Yahweh pities those who fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting even to everlasting on those who fear him. Yea, his righteousness is to the sons of sons, to those who keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So like I said, what we see is that Yahweh says, it's not his purpose for anyone to die, for anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. That even if somebody, no matter what the sin is, we know that, if someone was a murderer, whatever, that if he truly repented of that sin and turned away from it and tried to come to follow Yahweh, Yahweh would forgive him. And who are we? Who are we as human beings to repeat matters that Yahweh has put from the east and the west? Who are we as human beings to try to slander people's past? You know, that's what they did with Yeshua. You eat with prostitutes and tax collectors. And believe me, I've had to counsel people that had very low self-confidence, that had bad pasts, that went through all kinds of horrible things. You know, we see Yeshua with even prostitutes. And as the body of Messiah, we should be trying to build these people up, showing them that, like we said, all those other things are behind you. What matters today is who you are today with the Spirit of Yahweh. Not try to tear people down because of their bad past or what they did in the past. And like we said, Yahweh calls it absolutely evil. But the times we're living in, people will do wicked things, but yet, as we read, people will reap what they sow. But we must not be deterred and stay straight on line with the truth and simply refrain from any contact from such wicked people who are gossiping and falsely accusing other brethren. These people are not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh. And clearly, the ninth commandment, they water down the commandments and they make them simple sometimes, and they always say, ninth commandment is thou shalt not lie. No, the ninth commandment is not thou shalt not lie. That may be an extension from the ninth commandment. But the ninth commandment is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Even though that's lying, it's specifically one of the ten commandments that we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. So we should be very, very careful, when we're relating something about anybody, that we're not bearing false witness, that we're not giving the wrong impression, that we're not inadvertently saying something that would make somebody think something bad about another people. If you're repeating something that somebody did and you neglect to state that they repented of that, you're not only gossiping, but you're bearing false witness and you're breaking the ninth commandment. So, something that is, like I said, very serious, and I believe why this problem is happening sometimes in the congregation is simply people are not using the Matthew 18 process. People talk about it a lot, but it's something we have to use. We have to use the Matthew 18 process, and if somebody does repent, if they do take responsibility of something, praise Yahweh, put it from the east to the west, forget about it. But again, as people in the congregation, as I said before, the best way that we can deal with this is simply by not partaking in it. The same way we would not partake in any other unrighteous actions, such as stealing or lying or anything else, the best thing we can do is simply refrain from such people and let them know we're not going to partake of it. So, praise Yahweh. I hope this was a blessing. This part two of this, and like I said, we have part one on there, and I think this kind of completes the Matthew 18 process, and my prayer is that people, brethren, messianics, whoever around the world will use this more, and that there can be more peace in the congregation, as blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh.